There we go.
Good morning. Start over again because the CD's running now. Romans chapter 3 and beginning in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, in Romans chapter 3, Paul lets everybody know, if you can read, that is, the natural state of man. It's in there. All men are born under sin and live under sin. And this includes Jew and Gentile alike. He's very specific when he states that. When you say Jew and Gentile, that's everybody. It's that simple. The textbook definition of the word Gentile is not a Jew. That's it. So you have Jews and not Jews. That's everybody. Everybody is under sin. Then in verse 10, he writes four words here, as it is written. That tells you what's coming next is not new. Because when it says, as it is written, it was written in the Old Testament. And if you've got a reference Bible with the little references down the center, it'll tell you where to look. He starts off, as it is written. This actually started at the fall of Adam, but it's written in other places. But he starts this litany, this list. There is none righteous, no, not one. He continues on. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Then Paul gets mean. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. See, that's a whole step above. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good. Well, we know we're not good, but we're not bad. What does it say? Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. That was me. Some days, that is me. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. And then the last thing, the final condemnation of the state of man, there is no fear of God before their eyes. He then goes on to tell us that the law was given to show us our guilt. To show man his guilt. The entire world is guilty, Jew and Gentile, before God. The entire world is guilty because by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law never justified a man. not before God. The law shows how and where man has failed, which is every way and every how and everywhere. And he states clearly, the law shall justify no flesh. Now the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. But we're not. Because the law is not for justification before God. The righteousness of God without the law is now made known. It was coming, as it is written. It was coming according to the law and the prophets, but now it's made known, Christ Jesus. God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus is now made manifest. It's made known. It wasn't invented. It wasn't a new thing. Because God's grace has always been in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament was plumb full of his, the Messiah's coming. From generations on up. God set him forth to be the propitiation, as Earl always used to say, the mercy seat. He is the mercy seat. He is the Redeemer. He is salvation. Through faith in his blood. God has declared his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past. Now this verse is a stumbling block for a lot of people. Because they have a very bad tendency to stop there. Because this is where I've seen some trouble. There are all manner of places where this is preached incorrectly or at best incompletely. Because this is a big thing in the Arminian camp. It is taught in other places that when you come to Christ, all your past sins are forgiven. They are. That's true. But then they go on to teach that some way or another, depending upon where you are, you're going to have to take care of those sins that you commit afterward. They have to be take care of your present and your future sins just a little differently. That's hooey. It's a lie. I've heard some say you have to confess your sins or they will not be forgiven. And I'm not talking about Catholics. I'll talk about Catholics in a minute. But some of them say if you keep sinning and you don't get these new sins forgiven, you will be lost. Because you can get salvation and you can lose salvation by your sin. If that's true, I'm doomed. And so are everybody else. Some actually say you can be utterly cast down after having been saved. Unless you repent and get back in. Now, Catholicism does have a slightly different view. Actually, it's got a way different view. Because Catholics teach original sin, mortal sin, and what they call venial sin. Original sin was due to the fall of Adam. That is taken care of by an infant being sprinkled in baptism, according to the Catholic Church. That takes away Adam's sin, sprinkled with water as a baby. Now, if you read this book, okay, you can read it from cover to cover. And as a matter of fact, you can read the whole, you know, indexes I got in the back, which I still haven't done. You're not going to find that anywhere in there. Not even close. But that supposedly takes care of original sin to Catholics. But then you got to deal with all your new sins. Sounds familiar now. And they rank these in two categories, mortal sins and venial sins. Mortal sins are the really bad ones. That's like killing, stealing, violating the Ten Commandments, not honoring your father and mother. Venial sins, and mortal sins are done willingly and knowingly that it's wrong. Venial sins are lesser sins like fibs, white lies, you know, a lust of material goods, or skipping church. I have been known to do that in times past when I was a young man. And then you run into the people David knows. Because there are few, very few, who teach that after you're saved, you can keep yourself sinless and brag about it. Even though bragging is a sin. Boast not. And they preach that you have to keep yourself sinless. Now, it's not strange, I don't think, that people believe this, because people have always believed strange things. And trust me, this is really nothing compared to some things I've seen or heard that people believe. The strange and the weird thing is that there are people who actually believe that they are sinless since they, quote, got saved. Because this is the height of ignorance. And if you want to know the truth, it's borderline stupidity. And maybe not over, it might be over the border. Paul wrote a whole chapter about this in Romans 7. They don't get that far. Or if they read it, they interpret it, in quotes, incorrectly. Because in Romans 7, Paul wrote this, "The law is spiritual, but I am carnal." Present tense. Not past tense. Present tense. I am carnal, sold under sin. He continues on, "For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." That's what Walter was talking about in Ezekiel 36. Where Ezekiel writes, "I'm going to take out that hard stone and give you a heart of flesh." We still got a heart of stone. We do have the living heart. We do have life from God if you're His people. And if you've been regenerated, the Holy Spirit does indwell. And that's where you get this war. That's where you see this law in your mind. And this war among the members of your flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. They're both there. That stone heart has not been taken away yet. It will be, but it hasn't been yet. Now there is a delight in the law of the Lord in my mind, in the inward man. But there is another in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind. There's a battle inside me I have now that I did not have before I was regenerated. There's a battle inside me and inside every other believer in the world today, if you know Christ. No matter how hard I fight it, no matter how much I mortify the members of my body, I do not win. I really would like to. I really want to. I desire to win the war against my members. But I don't, because evil is present within me. And if you think that you've won that fight, as my mother used to say, you got another thing coming. Because that one's wrong. She never said that part. It was implied. It was a rhetorical statement. You got another thing coming. Because you're dead wrong if you think you've won that fight. The Apostle Paul had problems with this. And I know you're not supposed to, but I do actually think a whole lot more about of him than I do of other people. And certainly more of him than I do of myself. He had this problem, and we are no better. And so, as a matter of fact, sometimes I think I'm just worse than a lot of people, because I know I do some things that I should not do. Now, I know you guys don't have that problem. But I do things I shouldn't do, and I know better. People will tell you, you know better than to do stuff like that. Yes, I do. But I do it anyway. I won't. I get mad at myself because I do. But then I'll turn around and do it again. Whether out of anger or malice that's still in my heart, or stupidity, I still do sin. I don't want to, but I do. And by His grace, I've been given the knowledge of it. Not the knowledge of everything, but at least the knowledge of some of my sins. Thankfully, Romans 3 does end on a high note. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There's one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. One God. Of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes. Of the Gentiles also. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And even better than this, after this comes that explanation in Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, I can fit in there. I can fit in there. Because I'm no good at works. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And by His grace and by His life and by the faith that He has given me, I can fit in there. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. in verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Yeah. That's what I need. Actually, that's wrong. That is whom I need. I need the Lord who will not impute sin to me. And that's what you need, if you know Him. And that's because of this one simple fact. I can't keep from sinning. You could put me in a straitjacket in a rubber room and not have to interact with anybody else, I'll still sin. It's in my head. It's in my flesh. I don't want to. I don't desire to sin. But even when I do good, the evil's present within me. And that's not the amazing part. The amazing part is that I could ever do good. The evil has always been present with me. I had that ever since I was born. Didn't quite know about it till later on. But it's always been there. But I can actually do good when God gives me both the will and the do of His good pleasure. I can do good now. I never used to be able to. If I did it before, it was by accident. Sometimes I think, you know, if I didn't know what I knew, I think it'd be by accident now. But I know He does work in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I can actually do good. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's the treasure we have in earthen vessels. His life. The Spirit of God in the believer is a treasure. I do remember Maze Jackson, Walter. There's one thing that he said that stuck with me. There's a few things, but that's one in particular that he was talking, and he said that some people get envious at the prosperity of the wicked. David did. He said, don't. Because if you have Christ, you have so much more than they do. And that's the God's honest truth. I don't know about anything else he said that night, Walter, but that's the truth. If you have Christ, you have a treasure in an earthen vessel. We are clay pots. We are still flesh. But I delight in the law of the Lord by the inward man. I never did that before. I never did that before. The Holy Spirit of God is in every believer in Christ. And the Lord will not impute sin unto them. And that's the Lord I need. And thankfully, by His grace, that's the Lord who has me. I got Him, but that's not as important as He's got me. And I thank Him for it. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this day for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and lived perfectly in this world, which is something we can never really comprehend, and gave himself freely for the sins of his people, and offered his life to you. And took away our sins. Thank you for everything that you have done. In his name we ask.